earlier
on the Darren Smith Show.
609, here's your commercial Culpepper Plumbing. Hey, Brookie, it looks like Jim Russell has a clog in his computer. Brookie, hey, Tim, why not call us? We have a drain special for $71. Tell the gang we're coming. It's Culpepper Plumbing.
Oh, that is maybe the greatest text ever to this show. Fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Welcome to the Darren Smith Show.
This is the big one, boys. This is the one that brings us back. Soon, AM radio will reign king once more.
Ooh, yes.
Now, here's Darren.
We love you. We love you forever and ever.
On Extra 1360.
Hour number three. It's Extra 1360. We're with you up until 3 p.m. John and Rich coming up here a little later on this afternoon. We had requested Marty put together an NFL Nuggets segment just off the top of our head. I don't know that we will or won't get there. Have you actually prepared for it? You don't have to do it.
I know. Well, okay.
You're
I haven't officially prepared. There's a lot more. There's a lot more happening this week because all teams in earnest, like the veterans included, will report by Wednesday or Thursday. I know the Rams rookies reported yesterday because they had a press conference. Sean McVay is going today and the veterans today. But there's some news. I'll give you two quick nuggets. This is not an official segment. But the most important, think about how the
not
NFL.
Not an official segment.
Well, no, it's not. Just real quick, tiny little nuggets. I mean, they're obvious nuggets. But think about how our NFL offseason started, all right? The two biggest questions were around the quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson. And I would tell you the most notable news there is Deshaun Watson reported to training camp yesterday. He still wants to be traded. And apparently the Houston Texans are letting it be known they're willing to trade him. It'll cost at least three first-round picks. There's a giant elephant in the room. There's a giant question, too, about all the lawsuits against him for sexual assault. Like 10 women had filed lawsuits. So we'll see how that's going to play out. And then Aaron Rodgers, apparently, if you're watching TV and social media, he's apparently going to report there's a new contract that'll make him with the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. That means nothing for his future past this year, but it looks like Aaron Rodgers is going to report, even though the Vegas oddsmakers, some had taken them off the board because they thought he was going to retire this week. So the quarterback carousel has been interesting. So there's more news coming, Darren. Michael Thomas had ankle surgery. The Saints aren't happy because why did he wait till this late to have that surgery when he needed it months ago? So if for your fantasy draft, I know you have five of them that you're going to regret. Don't take Michael Thomas. He won't be ready to go early on. And here's some good news.
Oh, see, now she's getting in the groove.
No, it's not. But no. These aren't official nuggets. So there shouldn't even be music. I'm not even on the air. Am I on the air? Okay. Good news for the Rams, man. There's 10 teams who have hit a 90% vaccination rate. The Rams, Sean McVay announced, are close to 100%.
Wow.
100% for their players. The coaching staff is already there. That is a big deal because the team that's renting for them, they have among one of the lowest vaccination rates in the NFL. Not good for the runners.
Tale of two teams.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, that's it. That's the important thing. You always start with the quarterbacks, right? And then you kind of work your way out.
One of my favorite movie scenes ever comes from the movie Burn After Reading. Have you ever seen it?
I have not. You've recommended it to me like a billion times, but I haven't seen it yet.
And at the end of it, J.K. Rowling, is that his name? He just sits back in his chair and he goes, what did we learn, Palmer? What did we learn about this Aaron Rodgers situation? I just feel like this was such an enormous waste of time. Part of me wishes I had just been in a coma for the entire 3 months that this thing was going on.
He's good at Jeopardy.
Yeah.
He got engaged, and he's not going to be with the Packers next year. The one thing that I think we have learned, and it might be more from talking to Andrew Brandt, the former Packers executive, the one thing we have learned, he will not be with the Packers next year. That's it. This is it. So enjoy him while you can, Packers fans. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, for our guy Romo out there. Well, I know we have one Packer fan who listens to us every day.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That's great.
Tom.
I'm excited. I'm
Marty
excited.
Marty says, enjoy them while you can.
Yeah.
Which apparently is one more season.
It's
the last dance, dude.
Yeah, that was great, man. Him and Davante Adams posting the exact same image of Pippen and Michael Jordan. Like, it's a coordinated attack on their IG. It was great. IG story.
Coordinated attack on Instagram.
Coordinated attack.
Yeah, of course, right?
Yeah.
That was great. I don't know, but it was kind of entertaining.
Was it?
Yeah, I mean, it gave certain TV shows something to talk about.
Every day.
I mean, for every
People
single
will,
day.
People will, do anything to not talk about baseball in this country.
Today I had to.
Or any other sport for that matter.
I noticed that today. I had to go to MLB Network to find out if Preller had made any more trades. Because it was, Listen, it's over. If you're watching TV, it's over this week for ESPN.
So it is over. You're right.
It's over.
And you know, you can expect to just kiss all the other sports stories.
No, they will take Jeff Passan out of his closet. They let him speak for like 25 seconds, and that's kind of it.
Speaking of A.J. Preller, he spoke earlier today. Are there specific sound bites, or are we just going to run this in one big
I put a big chunk, but then I also sent Jim an additional one where he was asked about your question, Darren, your theory on adding another bat now that they have Adam Frazier.
I got the big chunk ready.
Let's get the big chunk of Preller. Here it is from some random hotel someplace.
I mean, I think he's got the last couple of years and into this offseason that we've talked about. I think he's a winning offensive player. It's a really tough out. He's a quality defender, so you have two-way value as well. And then we see some versatility also. You know, he's gone out there and played some outfield. I think the biggest thing is, we go down here down the stretch and hopefully into October, where we want to play, guys that we feel like are, winning type at bats, winning type players. He checks a lot of boxes for us and, hopefully will be a big contributor for us here over the course of the next couple of years. We've talked about a little bit internally. I mean, I think obviously, second base, left field, right field, I think that'll be the spots that we start with. I think if there's a day off for anybody on the left side of the infield, we have some other guys that can go over there and play. I think from our standpoint, the initial conversations internally and then with Adam, I think, second base, left field, right field, and then be ready to come off and contribute off the bench as well in a National League game where you may get a mid-game at bat and then stay in the game. I think that's exactly how the playing time's going to be divvied up. I think that'll be, up to Jace, the coaches in terms of a feel for the pitcher that's on the mound, who's hot, possible injuries, matchups that we think we want to play, how we think the game will unfold. But again, it's just for us, it's a very valuable player, not just for the next few months into next year. I think ultimately, like who's in the lineup. I think we're kind of subscribing to the fact that we feel like it fits for our team. We also feel like, we want to get another quality offensive player and defensive player, on our club. And, we'll kind of sort through exactly what that means from a playing time standpoint over the course of the next few weeks and months. I think really a couple of days ago, I think we got a sense that, another team had stepped up. And I think that team probably confirmed that for us yesterday. So we knew that, he's a good player, all-star player, leading the national. I think leading the major leagues, maybe in hits, up there among the batting leaders. We feel like he's been an underrated player over the last, few years, really since he's been at Mississippi State. So again, he fit for us. He probably fit for some other clubs, and my guess is there was some competition for him there at the end.
As far as the transition of bringing a new guy into your clubhouse, what are the factors that you take into account in terms of, bringing somebody in that's going to match? And also, how much does it depend on the player? How much of it is the pre-existing culture that's already in your clubhouse to make a guy feel invited and welcomed?
Yeah, we're constantly talking about that. It's not like I've seen it kind of portrayed a little bit as, hey, get as much talent as you can, kind of throw it up on the wall and we'll figure it out. It's not that at all. I mean, a lot of conversations with our staff, definitely with Jace, what we think fits with some of our players, honestly, kind of like how well we see this player fitting. I think the more guys we have, I think we subscribe to, all different personalities are welcome. I think there's guys that bring all different personality to the club, but guys that are gamers, winners, competitors, guys that have elite skill set, guys that can play both sides of the ball, those guys fit. And, we think Adam, I think just all the homework that we've done, pretty confident that he fits with the crew. And honestly, I think conversations we've had with some of our guys and our players, I think they're open arms, looking for another guy that can help us win a World Series.
I was going to ask you about that. The other guys in your clubhouse that may know, like Joe Musgrove, who knows him, how much does it help to have some players that have been around him and know a little bit about who the player is and the character that he has?
Yeah, that was, I think, again, we constantly do a lot of homework, really dating back when these guys are even amateurs and coming up in the minor league system. But obviously the most recent looks and the most recent, information is always important. And I think hearing from a guy like Joe that, you see how professional he is and the way he goes about his business. And he gave a very high endorsement for Adam, and I think that's all part of the information gathering, portion of the deal. And then all factors into the decision, and I think that's part we feel really comfortable about, is that he fits our group and our culture. And it's nice to hear that from some other players or people that behind the scenes have either have been with them, and definitely some guys that have direct relationship with the player you're acquiring.
All right. Thank you to Ghost of Ray Kroc, who says J.K. Rowling. You mean the Harry Potter author?
Yeah.
No, J.K. Simmons. J.K. Simmons. Thank you.
How do you know J.K. Rowling? That's kind of impressive. You don't watch Harry Potter, do you?
No, yeah, but I'm aware of the author. I know who the book. I know who wrote the books.
Really?
I confuse J.K. Simmons with J.K. Rowling. That's what happens when you do a show without a script.
Okay.
You sometimes get things wrong.
Well, without a bathroom break.
No bathroom break. Yeah, exactly right. All right, so there you go. That was some A.J. Preller from earlier. If you want to watch the extended play, you can go to sportssd.com.
It's such a long... Yeah, it's posting in about 3 minutes. It's like one of the longest... It's a very long Zoom.
What else did he say?
I'm not sure if Jim has it, if he has it in time, no. I just sent up a clip about... He was asked about...
Pitching?
He was definitely
Hosmer?
Asked about pitching. No, not really.
Nobody asked about this report in The Athletic today about Hosmer?
No, because I don't know. How do you ask that question? Are you going to trade Eric Hosmer? Or what do you think about this report? I mean, how would you have asked that question? How do you ask a question about Eric Hosmer when it's based off...
There's a report in The Athletic today.
That you want to trade Eric Hosmer.
That you want to trade him.
Knowing that that he is not going to comment on any player.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how he is. Of course, he doesn't necessarily comment directly on a lot of things.
Nothing.
Right? No.
Zero.
No, because I asked him about, you know, the luxury tax threshold, how likely it is. I know it's very exciting stuff. And like, if you're going to ask about priorities of the deadline, everyone wants to add pitching. But of course, you're happy with the team that you have.
We really like the team we have. I feel like we brought in a lot of winning pieces.
We saw
of course,
some
we're
good
always looking
from...
to try to improve, you know, if we can do that. But, you know, I would say that this is, you know, this is sort of a direct story
on
a player who, you know, who for whatever reason, it feels like a percentage of the fan base is really turned on.
It feels like it's a bigger deal than Adam Frazier.
Yeah, and I don't mean to say I hate saying stuff like that because I don't even know how accurate it is to say that a percentage of the fan base. I will just say because sometimes your exposure is limited to whatever it is that you create on social media.
The Twitter,
right? Like it's not like they're not booing him.
No.
The way Kenley Jansen has been booed recently at Dodger Stadium. We're not there. It just seems like it's a percentage of people, mostly on social media.
Right.
So from that standpoint, I don't know how representative that is of anything other than people who are on social media. So, you know, again, asking people who are around it a little bit more, they're like, yeah, like he does have value for our players in the clubhouse. It doesn't mean that if we took this away, though, that we would be rudderless. We've got other guys who could fill that void, and maybe maybe they could do it. Every bit as good, if not a little bit better. Again, not a reflection on Hosmer, just not something that they're going to – that is a speed bump in their decision-making. That is not a stop sign. But there's a, you know, this huge story from reputable reporters, both local and national, about what this is.
Yeah. And if Hosmer is available on the field during the time that we're out there tomorrow, this is a question he'll be asked about.
Yeah.
If we ever see him again.
If we do. Well, yeah.
On the field.
It might be difficult, but you know, the interesting thing about deadlines is
you know,
it puts you in a position that you have to act by a certain time. So that's the good news. We'll be on the air 1 o'clock Friday. Be sure to tune in to our trade deadline special.
Who should I book for 1:01 PM? I mean, normally it's Dennis. Is Dennis going to be available, or is he writing about some blockbuster or less than blockbuster deal?
Probably not.
Think about this.
We'll have live reaction, though. Go to the phones.
Oh, do they work? Do the phones work? Have we checked? Do the phones work?
I don't know what it works.
Would us taking a bunch of phone calls make your life more or less chaotic?
Taking phone calls?
Yeah.
Oh, they make it way more chaotic.
Oh, they do? Oh. Well, we'll just take text then.
Yeah.
Text us your trade thoughts, 1 p.m., our trade deadline special. Do we have any imaging for this? I've heard new commercials running on the station when we could run commercials.
We have promos.
Indicating that we are going to sift through the rubbish out there and deliver you the cold, hard facts.
Do we need like a trade deadline like
sounder? Yes.
Like they do for the jump whenever there's a trade for the NBA and they have like the Rachel Nichols pushes the button.
Or the draft thing, you know,
Yeah, like breaking news.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exciting. We'll be on the air for a trade deadline.
Do you think Preller makes a trade on the trade deadline day, or does he just get one done before then?
Yeah, I think he'll do it. I think he'll do one.
Like last hour?
Yeah.
That'd be so good.
I think so.
I love it. Even if it's like a small one for like a release.
Just nothing, right?
That
some guy
knows.
In like A-ball.
Yeah, who cares? Yeah. Just give us something.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, the Oakland A's are in town. I don't want to read this whole thing, but You guys know the sports writer Ray Ratto?
Oh, yes.
Love Ray Ratto.
Ray Ratto is a talk show host up in the Bay Area.
He's the most cynical, best person ever.
Did you read the absolute beatdown that he gave the Oakland A's? He writes for a website called defector.com. I don't know what that is. I'm not knocking it. It's not a stop on my regular reading and prep for the show. Did you read this? I sent this to you on Friday.
I did. He's great.
What a takedown of the Oakland A's. I just want to read one paragraph. I would recommend to you all that you read the entire thing. But he talks about how silly the A's look here in whatever it is that they're trying to accomplish up in Oakland. He writes, and now the piece de resistance, their tactics, talking about the A's. This is Ray Ratto of the Bay Area. They've tried to bully Oakland even after Oakland told the NFL to take a hike. John Fisher doesn't even exist as an ethereal face. Wait a second. Owner John Fisher doesn't exist as an ethereal face of venality without the power to achieve actual evil. And his spokesman, Dave Cavill, is mostly a shouting carnival barker trying to lure people inside of his company's tent with rancid popcorn and flat beer. It is so great. Despite the fact that the A's, as a concept, deserve better, what they have is this. Decades of being the poor relation. Decent, proper, and well-funded ownership for 15 of the past 90 years. An inferiority complex stuffed inside an undeserved arrogance. And a fan base that knows that it has nowhere to turn but to the fantasy of a new owner who would have to pay upwards of $3 billion to buy a team in a new stadium where the franchise is worth a fraction of that. They are what the franchise would look like if you could demote teams based on corporate performance rather than standings position. Just a total takedown on the A's, who are heading to town, who the Padres will see four times in the next week or so. Two-game series here, off day today, two with the A's, off day, then a series with the Colorado Rockies, and then you get the Oakland A's up in Oakland.
Yeah.
This hellscape, as it's been described by anybody who's ever attended a sporting event at the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum.
When's the last time you saw anything there?
I never saw anything there.
Oh, really?
Actually, no. When I was up in the Bay Area a couple summers ago, I did want to go out there just to go see what it was like. And I've heard that the A's do have like a really good, strong, passionate fan base.
Of course.
Maybe not as many as the Giants.
Right.
You know, they're second fiddle in that town, and that's something you subscribe to and something that you sign up for. Yeah. But, man, like, this was – what a takedown this was from Ray Ratto. Like, it just – all the events that we talked a little bit about last week, none of this is going real well. And these threats that they're going to move to Portland or move to Henderson, that's another thing that Ray Ratto writes here at defector.com. Let's see if I can find it real quick and do a better job of reading it. They talk about Las Vegas when, in fact, they mean Henderson, which is 20 minutes away from the Strip by car and 1,000 light years distant by heat, wind, and inconvenience. They talk about Portland and Sacramento and Nashville and Charlotte when the evidence is clearly suggesting that they'll have to build their own baseball palaces there too. So, like, he's saying, I don't know who you are, A's, but, you know, this it's not going real well. Again, I love that one line from him just about how, you know, they take themselves so seriously, you know, for a team. What was the one line? An inferiority complex stuffed inside an undeserved arrogance. Wow. Those are words that you just, if you're a fan of writing, you're like blown away by that. And a fan base that knows it is nowhere to turn but to the fantasy of a new owner who would have to pay $3 billion for a new stadium and to buy this team. Good times. Good times in Oakland. Speaking of great writing, I also would direct your attention to a wonderful couple of pieces that have been written about Simone Biles over the last couple of days. I tweeted one out yesterday. If you're on social media, you can go at D. Smith Show. You can find it. I didn't include any fancy caption. I just tweeted out the story. It's a little bit long. I certainly think it's worth your while. There's so much that happened in Simone Biles' life that I don't know that I was aware of it. You know, that she has been adopted, that she was a victim of abuse in the USA gymnastics scandal, didn't even realize it, and sort of was in denial about it. This very well could be her final run at the Olympics. You know, she openly cried when she found out that the Olympic Games last year were postponed, that Tokyo 2020 was in fact postponed, because it meant that she had to represent USA Gymnastics, a governing body that failed her and hundreds of other people, but that she had to represent them for another year in order for her at 23, then 24 years of age now, to go and to really, you know, make her mark on her sport in what very well could be her final Olympics. It was really It was an inspirational piece. It was an emotional piece. I realize Simone Biles, this isn't, you know, for this industry, it's much more Aaron Rodgers than it is Simone Biles.
Yeah, but
with
still
the Olympics
know,
ongoing,
still know
it's
name.
An amazing story.
There
about
are certain
her.
Athletes that they cross all those lines.
Mesmerizing to watch her. She's on television tomorrow night. We'll know the results by the time primetime rolls around. Not going to matter a lick to me. You're telling me that Simone Biles is going to be available and on television to watch?
How much of
8
the
o'clock
Olympics?
Tomorrow night?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, 8 o'clock tomorrow night? So that'll be the first bottom of the first inning. How much Olympics did you watch? Did you watch this weekend?
A lot. It's confusing. Oh, I don't really know where anything is. There's like 17 different channels on my system.
I know.
And I never really know what it is. And I know it's already been done. But I gave it, you know, yesterday I had the Padres on the main television and I had the top two televisions on the Olympics. I watched some equestrian. My wife has been a horseback rider for her entire life. Mm-hmm. So she's really into the equestrian. So we watched some of that.
Did you watch any of the skateboarding?
I did. Which is I watched it last night.
Did you enjoy it?
They're children. These are children. These are our 13, 14, 15-year-old children. I watched it last night. It's funny you brought that up. I thought it was great. I thought it was really mesmerizing.
Really?
I did. Okay. I used to skateboard when I was a kid. Not
what?
Like this. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I chewed my knees up.
That's the most shocking thing I've ever heard. I've ever learned about you. And
really?
I've known you. Yeah, well.
Well, give it time.
Okay. Were you wearing an earring? That was during the earring
multiple.
Stage?
Maybe.
Okay.
But I thought it was great. I thought it was good television. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, like I said, it's very confusing, though, because there's anywhere between a 13 and a 16-hour time difference, depending on where you're watching in the United States.
Right.
It's on countless channels, so you never really know where you're supposed to find any of this stuff. The scheduling, there's two different schedules because there's a schedule of events happening in real time, and then there's the schedule of events when things are being broadcast.
Okay,
and then a lot of the stuff is available. They're just trying to push all to Peacock, too.
Which channel is showing it live?
I don't know. Peacock, I think. That's, you know, we've sort of decided in our house what we're going to do is we'll flip it on. We'll see if something captures our attention. But you already know that the event most likely that you're watching has already happened. Like yesterday, I knew that Japan had beaten Mexico in soccer.
Okay.
But I still watched it.
Yeah.
You know, just still watched it. So I'll know that Simone Biles did or didn't do something tomorrow night with gymnastics, but I'm still going to watch that because you just can't take your eyes off.
What if it's heartbreak? Are you compelled to watch that?
Yeah.
Really?
I think so.
So would you go back and watch? Were you compelled to go back and watch Team USA losing to France?
I did. Well, it was rebroadcast yesterday at some point. But I also get the Peacock app, so I can get all the stuff whenever I want. Okay. And I think that's really what the goal of the games is, or at least from NBC's standpoint. Yes, they're disappointed in viewership. Jim had his best bet last week, which was we would see record low ratings.
Right.
I don't know that it's record low yet. I know that Friday night opening ceremonies was like 17, 18 million.
I went back
in that
and watched. I watched the ending of that just because I wanted to watch the whole passing of the torch, the actual torch, from Hideki Matsui and Setahara Oh to to Naomi Osaka, and that was really, really cool. But I'm like, that was like 3.5 hours.
Yeah.
That was a lot.
And we've gone back in time because we're now watching sporting events with no fans. And we remember what that was like last summer and how bad it was and how it really impacted viewership and enjoyment of said sporting events. So
it didn't actually, considering what's going on like right now, and you alerted me to an update from California, from the governor speaking today and what's happening in New York. It didn't actually feel so weird to see an event without fans. I almost feel like I don't want to say we're headed back towards that direction. Hopefully not. But it's like, okay. It's a good reminder of where we were a year ago and how easily we can get back there again. It's not, the whole mask thing, none of that, shutting down, none of that right now feels weird to me. It feels like this is what's to come.
On the horizon?
Yes.
Yeah. But we've gone back in time when it comes to the sporting events and how we view them. And plus, they're on so many different channels. And really, the end game here. Now, of course, they're going to have to answer for advertising out there on Madison Avenue and all that sort of stuff. But why does that concern anybody? You know? Like, they're just trying to push everybody to Peacock. So, and they've succeeded, at least in my situation.
Yeah.
All right. We got a lot to get to. We'll be back after this. .619 number, the Renters. Perfect, Marty. Can we please forever refer to the Chargers as the LA Renters? 858 with a different approach. Oh, my God. Please, please, no NFL nuggets. Training camp hasn't even started yet. A little bit of both.
Yes, it has.
858, you know, I'm the original Hey Brookie text starter to the show. Shout out to myself. 360 number. Interesting. Don't know where that is. With Adam Frazier, where will he hit? I say second behind Pham and in front of Tatis, but Tingler hasn't had Tatis in that spot all year. Can you ask somebody involved with the Padres why that is and or if moving Tatis to the three spot is a possibility? Marty can ask on your behalf.
Yes. Maybe in tomorrow's pregame Zoom.
I like it. 619, hey, Darren, I'm a pilot. And it's almost always the pilot who rips the wings off of the airplane.
Okay.
Tell Tim to tell the iHeart tech department to pound sand.
Did he just say it's my fault, basically?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, you said if a wing falls off, it's not the pilot's fault. And here's a pilot who's saying, actually, it's not true.
Oh, okay.
And some of you are guessing which former coworker I emailed in a company-wide reply to all.
And you're probably right.
No, actually, they're wrong.
Oh, they guess Big Sills?
They all think it's Sills. It wasn't Sills. But if we want to talk about mysterious suspensions that were never actually made public, we can have that conversation.
How many were there?
Oh, there were others. There were definitely others.
That's going to be a good chapter.
We've had a little time out here for certain radio hosts.
That should be like your lead-off chapter.
That's a different book, though.
Oh.
Totally different book. Did you ask a question about basketball in the Olympics? I must admit, that's not what I'm doing there.
Yeah,
I was saying, boy, they got Maria Taylor over there at a quickness, though, didn't they?
Good for her.
Man, she's over there reporting live out there on that deck for NBC. Good for Maria Taylor. She's very good at what she does. I think that whole situation was very unfortunate at ESPN.
They had her lined up, like, literally the second she left the set, and she went over to NBC.
She was already on her way to Japan when that press release went out.
She had her ticket ready.
Yeah.
All ready to go.
Flipped on television. So I was like, oh, Maria Taylor. That's awesome. San Diego Loyal Saturday night. What are you going to do? No real shame in losing to the best team in the Western Conference.
Their nemesis.
I will say, though, and I can admit it. We've always been told one thing about working for this club that I love is they've always said, you know, you work for the club, but we also expect you to have a little integrity and honesty. That was just boring. I mean, I don't know what else to say. That was just a boring, boring game. It was great energy. This is not a knock on fans. The supporters groups I thought were terrific. The San Diego Pride section, the Loud and Proud section I thought was terrific. It was a good crowd. We were all waiting for something to happen, and nothing ever happened in this game. San Diego Loyal dominated possession. There's a famous line, I don't know that I should say it on the air, about possession. You know, they possessed the ball 70% of the time. They had 670 passes compared to 270 for Phoenix, but they didn't have one shot on target. So, the line, as the saying goes, is, that possession without penetration is masturbation. That felt like that on Saturday night.
I'm not familiar with that line.
Well, there you go. I'm teaching soccer here to everybody who's new to the sport, but possession without penetration is masturbation, and it felt a little like that Saturday. We got a little like Blake Snell thing happening with one of our players, with Corey Herzog, who I love.
What does that mean exactly?
I mean, like, he's a tremendous personality.
All the talent's there, and he's really, really intriguing, and you want to talk to that guy, and you want him to have the moment, because if he has that moment and he's the guest, dude, it's going to be great. It's going to be really
good.
He's
the third all-time leading scorer in SD Loyal history. He scored one time in 14 games for Loyal. And I think we need him. And, you need your best players. Like, you need Blake Snell. You need your best players to play like your best players. And we've seen some good from Corey Herzog, but he gets paid to be a goal scorer. Plain and simple, that's what he does. He is a goal scorer. He's the third all-time leading scorer in league history, and it's somewhat of a surprise. I love him. He shows up at our post-game show every match at home, him and his daughter, and we've gotten to know him, and we need a little more. That one's a little bit of a surprise. But, again, good crowd, no real shame in losing the Phoenix. They've played them tight. If these two clubs see each other again in the postseason, there will be absolutely no fear whatsoever. But Phoenix not only scores a bunch of goals, they also prevent you from scoring, something they're very good at. We don't spend enough time talking about that. But tremendous Saturday night. Back away on the road Thursday night at Tacoma, 7 o'clock kick. Pre-game show is going to be from a place called Naughty Barrel.
Whoa.
Naughty. Oh, that place is great.
Not downtown, the one up,
a little bit north.
Yeah, you know that's a great spot. Yeah.
Why don't you show up?
I'm sorry, this is tomorrow?
Thursday.
Yeah, right.
7 o'clock.
Yeah.
Naughty Barrel.
Dude, that place is great, man.
Sounds like naughty.
Really good beer. You'll like the wine they have there. It's a nice foodie joint. It's a great spot. Great outdoor area.
You need to drink wine on the pregame show.
I know. Well, we got to figure something out now. We don't know what to do with our tradition of popping champagne pre. But yeah, again, good energy. You know, it just was like, nothing happened.
Packed it in, man.
They did.
It just felt like they scored the first goal.
Yeah, 10 minutes, and
then
they just stopped.
We're done.
They were like, hey, you guys got to figure out a way to score now. And they scored like a real crap goal, Phoenix did as well. Like, it just bounced across the 6-yard box, and somebody put it in there. Weird. Just one of those. But hey, they've played Phoenix really, really close. So, you know, I think somewhere down the road that would make for a very good, very good postseason matchup. But that's a long way from now. We're not even at the midway point of the season. Let's get to our best bets of the day, brought to you by Valley View Casino and Hotel. Jim Russell, can we do this?
Best bets, brought to you by Valley View Casino and Hotel, San Diego's favorite.
My best bet is that Jim's going to have a much better day tomorrow. That's my best bet. Jim, we know how much you've been stressed out. We've watched it. People here who are listening have no idea, but we've seen it. You saved the show today. You really did. Kudos to you. Tomorrow will be better.
And then I got a sneezing attack and
a sneezing attack.
Yeah. When my nose tickles, I'll start sneezing and I'll sneeze like 10 times in a row. I just can't control it. So yeah, I had one of those happen to me during the break.
Does it happen like a panic attack? You sneeze? Not really.
Not really. I think it's just when it's stuffy or there's I don't know, dust in the air. I get a tickle in my nose, and I have a sneezing attack. So it's been a great day. Mm, awesome
yeah,
day.
Wonderful day. Yeah, the most Monday of Mondays.
Can't wait till it's over.
Okay.
That's my best bet. I can't wait till this day is over. I'm going to be so happy. I'm going to be the happiest person when it's 3:01 and then Brent has to deal with this crap.
Yeah. Good luck, Brent.
Good luck, man.
I wouldn't wish this on anybody, but it's Brent's turn.
It is. It's your turn to suffer.
Marty?
My best bet is that the Padres, before the deadline, will end up with a former Padre back on their team. I don't know which one.
Who's the favorite? Let's come up with some odds here.
I'm going to go Zach Davies. I think you have to give up way too much to get Craig Kimbrel. I think every single team is checking in on Craig Kimbrel, and I think you have to give up too much. I think you need a pitcher.
Kimbrel would be interesting too, because you know, I know this people would bill this as a good problem to have, but who's closing your games? Your all-star closer, right? Or are you giving it to the guy who's going in the free agency who's probably like, dude, I need those saves?
There's a team option with him, though.
No, he has a good option. It's a very affordable team option on him, too, $6 million.
So he's not a rental, which is what Preller has been known to go after, is guys that are controllable for many years.
I wouldn't limit myself to people who are controllable, though. I'm okay with a rental, if it's the right rental.
Has to be I think it's a rental's good if it's a player that you really trust that could help your team right now.
Okay.
Like Scherzer. Would you go out and get Scherzer?
You do realize you owe him $15 million for the next 5 years after this. $75 million more after in deferred money, which I'm sure Washington might work with you on, but they're probably going to want you to pick up a significant amount of that tab.
And didn't Kirchen seem to indicate that he thinks that he returns back to Washington? But they figure something else out.
The Walters Chapman situation, but would you pick up the tab on all the deferred money?
If you could work out a deal where you don't have to eat a lot of that, then...
It's $75 million.
Okay.
It's 15 for 5 years. Now, again, I don't know that they're going to expect you to handle that whole thing, but I would ask. $75 million. 15 per year.
Deferred money for Scherzer, or straight up. Who says no?
Hosmer for Scherzer.
No, it's the fit is Camarena for Scherzer. That's the trade that
Daniel
has to happen.
Camarena?
By the way, did you see Buster Olney's nugget? The Padres had kicked tires on Trevor Story.
Center fielder, Trevor Story.
Yeah.
What about your Gold Glove center fielder, Trent Grisham?
They want to just keep good players there.
That's crazy, though, that A.J. Preller would want to move a shortstop to center field. I mean,
what?
Just crazy talk.
By the way, speaking of which, I also saw that, was it Peter Gammon said that he thinks that Trey Turner could be traded because the Nats don't seem to be able to lock him up. So maybe
Peter King?
Peter Gammons. Did I say Peter King? Do I have football in my brain? I did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Peter King.
I'm sorry.
In related news, Peter Gammons reported that Aaron Rodgers is going to show up in the Green Bay.
See, there's too much happening. You have NFL training camp and you have MLB trade deadline, and the insiders, they're just jumping up in my brain. Maybe you can go home again if you're Trey Turner.
TV listings, Olympics, 5 o'clock on NBC. Somewhere. Jaws 2, 5 o'clock on Animal Planet. The Croc That Ate Jaws, 7 p.m. on National Geographic. What happens when sharks meet? And then Marty gave up. Some technical difficulty.
It's worked its way to the document.
It's infected the whole show today.
Today has been.
Well, I want to know what happened next. What happens when shark meets croc?
I think the croc eats the shark.
What?
Yeah. Who would you take in that fight? A shark versus a crocodile? Huh.
Well, sharks can't go on land, so.
Well, not according to a previous episode I watched last week about nurse sharks who had figured out how to eat prey. Oh, yeah.
They can go on land and get back in the ocean?
They're going to be walking pretty soon.
Well, that's kind of scary.
No chance. Right, I think I read something similar as well. Like, there's actually like a real Sharknado type situation forming.
It's going to happen. And by the way, who put out the thing about that? Isn't there an asteroid hitting Earth soon?
I did. Okay, I saw that. Yeah, TMZ.
A lot. Yeah. They're coming for us.
Well, you might as well.
Sharks, asteroids. Go get. Yeah. You know what? Go get as many first basemen as you want. Just go for it.
Trade for Scherzer. If an asteroid's going to crush this stupid planet, then
and sharks are walking on land, yeah, just go.
Live in the moment. Back after this. Six 619 number text in. My best bet is that Jim is getting hammered when he gets home. True, Jim? Not a big drinker. Gonna change that up tonight?
Yeah, not a big drinker, but tonight definitely alcohol will be consumed.
Special exceptions will be made for Jim Russell.
Yeah.
619 number. Story is not the shortstop that makes sense in center field. Interesting.
Mm.
What are we talking about? C.J. Abrams?
Fernando? Is there any other shortstop?
Think about C.J. Abrams. No, you think about it. Well, now that you've got this guy and you've got second base sewn up with Cronenworth and Frazier, what are we doing there? Hey,
what's going on?
Hey. Hi, John and Rich.
Good seeing you, man.
I'm just used to talking today.
Yeah, you've just been talking all day long.
Yeah, we did a commercial-free hour, which is amazing.
Commercial-free Monday here on Extra. Yeah, we should start promoting that.
I like it. I didn't mind doing it. I had a lot to say coming off a weekend.
There's a lot going on.
I had a lot going on. So, you know me, you just wind me up. I'm ready to go.
No, yeah.
We're a little worried about the bathroom situation. We weren't sure what was going to happen here if we had to go commercial-free for the entirety of the show.
Gotcha, yeah.
Jim recommended a cup.
Gatorade bottle, 32-ouncer. Those are the best road trip if you have to sort of just let it fly.
Or let Marty just talk for a while. Go to the restroom. And you talk for a while.
Here's Marty's NFL nuggets, and then I'll exactly. go to the restroom.
Exactly.
Just gonna you can slip tell us what exactly this whole Aaron Rodgers thing has been about, because I really get it. But thankfully, we didn't have to do that. We'll see. I can see that Brenton is in there, and he's a little concerned with the equipment. Jim's trying to explain what the next 3 hours are going to be like, that you guys might be smack dab in the middle of an interview, and all of a sudden, here's Chris Broussard.
Well, listen.
Were you interviewing Chris Broussard?
Yeah, I was going to say if he's a guest on the show, it's great.
Makes sense. Yeah.
But if it's in the middle of like a baseball guest, a local guy, perhaps, right. Then maybe not as great.
Yeah. I felt like Sweeney's probably like, okay, I'm ready to move on anyway. But I had like a really, really good question that I lined up for Sweeney, and we'll never know what his answer was because I'm not going to ask it.
Maybe I'll knock it out of the park for you. Pun intended.
Well, I was going to ask. You know, we were reading the story in The Athletic about Eric Hosmer. You know, and about the leadership and what happens in the leadership void and all that sort of stuff. And Ken Rosenthal and Dennis Lynn write a little bit about, let me see if I can find the exact line here, because it was a good one. It was about, you know, just leadership in there, what happens when you remove a player like this. And, you know, league sources, some in the industry question how it might look to ship out a popular leader who has been with the club since it was still rebuilding. And I was going to ask on a personal level what it was like for Mark Sweeney when his very, very close friend Phil Nevin got traded back in 2005. Now, Nevin didn't have the reputation as being one of his popular leaders. He led in a different way.
Yeah.
I say that as a friend of Phil's. But, you know, Hosmer has this reputation of prestige value. And I was going to ask, like, what it's like in there when a popular player, you know, what the week is going to be like for some of these guys, not knowing that you have a hyperactive general manager who's capable of doing anything.
When you have a big personality, it is hard at first, like I've dealt with it during training camp, trades and stuff like that, where somebody who's buddies with everybody and, you know, is kind of a gregarious, you know, energy creator, those type of people are difficult to replace, because a lot of times where you notice it is on the plane rides, on the bus rides, when you're, you know, eating food, when you're, you know, the downtimes, and sometimes like the stretch line before practice, you know, for football particularly, like that's when you notice they're missing, is because you get used to certain voices cutting through. But if he wasn't that vocal of a guy, if he wasn't like the guy who was always creating, you know, I don't know, groups and things for everybody to do, if he wasn't as outgoing, then, and we'll never know because there's been so much distance between the media and the players over the course of this time. But if he wasn't one of those guys, you're just easier to replace if you're not a big personality and you don't consume a lot of the open air.
Yeah, somebody who's been in that clubhouse a lot over the last two seasons has said, like, there's no doubt we're going to have players if this happens, and it's still a huge if. I know I keep hearing this promo about it not happening.
I mean, I feel, and I've heard you say even today, I mean, it's a pretty significant if, I feel like, in season to make that move.
But to the original point, you know, it was like, you will have some, especially some of the younger guys who, like, this guy is taken care of. You know, taught them a little bit.
Makes sense.
Now, it doesn't mean that it's the be-all, end-all, that there aren't other guys ready to replace that void, too. So, you know, that can be overrated, but it's still a real thing. Like, both things are probably true.
Yeah, both things are true. What you need to make sure of, if you're going to keep a guy on a roster just because he's a leader, or like you said, that prestige value, I've actually never heard that term used before.
Scott Boras term.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. You know, and it does sound like something an agent would create.
Yeah.
You know, because it
you're getting more than his numbers.
Yeah, exactly. But from that standpoint, if the team has more, the culture, not the team, if the culture you've created has more inertia than a single player, and that should always be the goal, then replacing any one player shouldn't be that difficult. Mm. And also think about how much of this team is based around the energy that Fernando Tatis Jr. creates, and how much of this team is around some of these core guys who are going to be obvious faces you're going to know and you're going to create around into the future. Like, Eric Hosmer is in his early 30s. He's got way more yesterdays than he does tomorrows, so it was a matter of time. Whereas with a guy like Tatis, it would be such a jarring, culture-changing moment that, like, if he got traded midseason anytime soon, it would completely change the dynamic of a clubhouse.
I can hear Brian Dutcher saying, like, we're a program. Like, we're not a one-hit wonder. But the Padres are a little different. Like, if we're making the analogy to San Diego State's basketball success over the last 20 years, well, the Padres' success is more recent. I mean, it's really just the last 2 years. Now, they have players that have been very successful. Manny Machado was on playoff teams in Baltimore. Eric Hosmer won a World Series, obviously, in Kansas City. But there's something to be said, Darren, to your point that the culture, how fully established is it when you've really won at the highest level? You did in a 60-game season. You haven't really won at the highest level over 162. And even when you won over 60, it's not like you were in a World Series or a National Championship Series. There's still work to be done.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, there's a difference probably between the Yankees last 20 years, obviously, and the Padres last 20 years when you try to make a move involving a leader, potentially. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, one of the guys who was in New England when I first got there was Randy Moss, who was an enormous personality and, like, created a tremendous amount of energy. And it seemed bizarre when he was gone. I mean, it was only 2 years that I was there with him, but he had accomplished so much in such a short amount of time. You know, it was like five seasons or whatever it was, four or five seasons. But because he was there when I got there and then he was gone before I left, I was like, wow, there's a void now to be filled. But oddly enough, that same season, Gronk got drafted, and then all of a sudden you have this, like, another dynamic personality that just jumps into the void and fills it up really quickly. And sometimes it's for the betterment of the squad overall, because there's no arguing at that point in their careers. Gronk was a more necessary personality and player than Randy Moss was.
Mm. You know, I think the other interesting thing, too, is however this, you know, there's a story all week and beyond. Because what if you can't move him? And now we've got reporters out there saying this is what they're willing to do and trying to do.
Yep.
And you can verify some of this stuff. Not that they need me fact-checking them, but and asking them, like, they're willing to pay some of the money for this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, what happens if you don't move them? And then all of a sudden, you know, Saturday or Friday night, you're like, hey, Haas, you know,
Well, even the conversation. How about the conversation that some of the players were talking to Nelson Cruz at the All-Star game about wooing him potentially to San Diego? Well, Nelson Cruz, it was going to be playing first base for you every day.
Yeah.
If you acquired him, you don't acquire a guy that has hit 20 home runs. He's in his 40s. I mean, he would have been playing every single day for you. So, yeah, I mean, a little bit of the writing is on the wall. It'll say a lot about Hosmer if he's able to, like, swallow his pride and ego and just plow forward. If you don't move him and you did everything in your power to move him and then he's still able to have success in the second half of the year, that would tell me a lot about Eric Hosmer, to be honest with you.
But, you know, you're also now pretty much, you know, and I realize, again, for fans, the stuff doesn't matter. You all appreciate, you know, haven't been. But, like, you know, anything that you ask a guy like that to do, media-wise, community relations-wise, probably going to be like, you might want to check with somebody else. You know? And like that's the sort of situation that you create here, where even if he's the consummate professional when he's out there in the batter's box, where he's played much better, you know, hopefully a little bit better defensively than some of what we've seen, but like a lot of that extra stuff just goes away when you start doing this sort of thing, you know what I mean? Like,
because he's a businessman.
Now he's aware of what the situation is, because it's not just something that's being discussed behind closed doors, but now it's very much out there, and this stuff doesn't get out there by accident. So now you know you got to consider all that part of it as well. All right, guys, good luck.
Thank
you. I mean that today. Good luck.
We need it.